This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Good evening. Malcolm, your host for That Sports Show on Wednesday the 19th of October. Just gone 8 o'clock, currently 13 degrees and down to 9 tonight. Now, Stuart is in Brazil this week. He gets around the world, that boy. And so I'm hosting solo again, but I'll have Anna on the line to talk news of the week. And in the studio, I will have Leonie Dodds from the Glamourhead Sharks to talk all things swimming. And they've got an event coming up, so she's going to be talking about that. Welcome, Leonie.
Thanks, Malcolm. Thank you for having me.
Yes, that's good. So Leonie is going to probably join me and maybe making a few comments about news of the week. But Anna, who's on the line, welcome, Anna.
Hi, Malcolm.
Yes. Hi. We'll also be talking news of the week with me. So tonight we've got a lot of horse racing because it's spring carnival. We had a retirement amongst our sporting greats. We had another tantrum from one of our sporting heroes. Or is he a sporting villain? We had some good news in cricket, and then we had some bad news in cricket. And then last Sunday, there was a race around Melbourne, which caused all the roads to be closed for a while, and that was the Melbourne Marathon. So we'll have a talk about that. And also, there's some bad news in the Olympic world. And, of course, one of our favourites, Matthew Mitchum, has made some more news this week. So let's get straight into it. Anna, the Caulfield Cup was won and run on the weekend with favourite Jamaica taking it out. Now, Jamaica, Anna, of course, I mentioned, was named after Serena Williams. Jamaica's her middle name. And they wanted to name her Serena, but that name was taken. And when she won the race, they tweeted and they tagged Serena Williams, and she actually responded. So she's like, wow. Sorry, Anna?
There aren't that many tennis players with a horse named after them.
No, that's right. So well done to Jamaica. But Jamaica, by winning the race, has been allocated 52.5 kilos for the Melbourne Cup. So looking out for the double of the Caulfield Melbourne Cups for Jamaica. And I, for one, am a fan of Serena Williams, so I'll be going for Jamaica in the Melbourne Cup.
Well, you see, Mel, she carried 52.5 to win the Caulfield Cup.
Oh, sorry, I got my weights wrong. Yeah,
and I think she might be going up in weight to 53 or 54.5 for the Melbourne Cup.
Yes, sorry, you're right, Anna.
But she won the lead up to the Caulfield Cup, naturalism.
Yes,
and then came second to Hartnell in the Group 1 Turnbull Stakes a couple of weeks later.
Right.
And Hartnell's running in the Cox Plate this Saturday against champion Mayor Wink, who he's never beaten.
Even though
they've raced each other 3 times.
That's right. And that leads us into the next story, Anna. Will the Moonee Valley track stand up to the Winks Hartnell showdown? Because there's been a lot of rain and they're expecting some more rain. So the tracks are, what would you call them, heavy or dead? What would you say, Anna, when they're that
heavy at the moment, I think.
Yeah.
My dad would probably know more than me.
Yes.
He's a bit more of a racing aficionado than I am.
Yes, Sam would know that.
Jamaica's trainer has managed to produce winners on all different tracks.
Mm.
So he's even produced some jumps winners.
Mm.
So good jumps winners.
Yes.
So, but Moonee Valley is designed to stand up to this sort of weather.
Right, because it's in a different part of Melbourne over there in the northwest, yes, whereas Caulfield's in the southeast. Now, Leonie, do you know much about horse racing?
Little tiny bits and pieces, only how to lose a cup sweep. That's about my best shot.
Oh, okay.
I don't mind it. Has Jamaica won a race at the long distance of the cup?
Well, the Caulfield Cup's long distance. And
yeah, it's not as long as the Melbourne Cup.
No, that's right. There aren't many long races like the Melbourne Cup.
No.
And so they build up to it.
Mm.
So, yeah, they don't have that many long races. Normally the races are 1,500 or 2,000, whereas the Melbourne Cup, I think, is about 3,500.
3,200.
3,200,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm. Has Jamaica got a big rear end like her namesake, maybe?
Probably.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't think she's built like Empire Rose, though, Malcolm.
No, Anna.
Shame.
No. Shame, shame, shame.
She's a giant of a mare.
I did pick her. I do remember picking Empire Rose.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Our sweeps at work are they're random, so you know, you don't get to choose your horse. It's just allocated to you randomly, apparently. So
that's the whole meaning behind a sweep now.
Yeah,
it's just a random draw.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a sweepstake.
Yes, dear. Now, Anna, your namesake, Anna Mears, has retired from cycling. The 33-year-old Olympic.
Another girl with a strong rear end.
Yes.
I was thinking that, but I thought I'd better not say it.
Oh, you can say that on Joy. Strong rear end and great legs. She has won 6 medals, including 2 gold over 4 Olympics, 11 World Championships titles, and she's an inspiration to all. There was thought that she might hang on to the home Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast in 2 years' time, but she's retiring. So she wouldn't have been... Sorry, she would have been just like Sir Chris Hoy riding in his own velodrome. They've named the velodrome on the Gold Coast after Anna Mears. So if she had hung on, she would have been riding in her own velodrome.
Oh, she's such an overachiever anyway.
Yes. Yes.
She had 6 cortisone injections in her spine during the Rio Olympics. So
wow.
I think she's wise to take on retirement rather than possibly doing real permanent damage
that's
to her
right.
back.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now...
Because life lasts a long time after retirement.
Well, that's right. And as I said, 2 gold, 1 silver, 3 bronze in the Olympics, 11 gold, 9 silver and 6 bronze in World Championships, which are held every second year, and then 5 gold and 2 silver in the Commonwealth Games. So pretty amazing, Anna Mears. She's one of our sporting greats. We wish her well in retirement.
Mm. We love Anna.
We do.
And she was our
flat... that wonderful ad she did during the Tour de France and other cycling races where she was... jumping from a standing start up onto this box that was as high as she was practically.
Yes, amazing.
And you could really see the power in her bottom half.
Yes, amazing. The strength is in the legs in a lot of sports, especially swimming.
That's a shame because I don't have any strength in my legs.
Yeah, and also a shame. I'm one of the worst kickers in the club, aren't I, Leonie? Anyway.
I'm not going to say.
No,
it's
that's Clayman. Fine.
Malcolm's a member of the Glamourhead Sharks.
That's right, and we'll get to that in the second half of the show, Anna. Now, moving on to tennis. Now, Nick Kyrgios' season is just about over because he received a ban and an extra fine. He had an 8-week ban, but it got reduced to 3 weeks. But the season is only 3 weeks old. It's got to go anyway. So hopefully that will give him some time to reflect on his behaviour. He says his body was tired and he was mentally tired after doing so well in Tokyo the week before. And then he tanked it, basically, in Shanghai, and that wasn't a good look. So,
but he's not the first player to tank him.
Oh, I know, I know.
He's certainly not playing against... He's certainly not playing for punters, which is another good thing.
Yeah.
He's 2021.
He's 21.
We've all done things at that age that we would rather forget about now.
Hmm.
And some people, they just need more help. And he now finally seems to be willing to accept the help that he clearly badly needs.
Well, he's so talented.
And Todd Woodbridge had some very insightful comments. Todd Woodbridge made some comments about what it was like when he was at Tennis Australia in the player development when Kyrgios was a young player, you know, 15, 16.
Yes.
And then once they joined the main tour, they're not cared for as much by their national federation.
No, they're not because they're on their own, Anna. They're on their own and they've got...
They're sent out on their own.
That's right. And they've got their money and things like that.
He needed the help. Perhaps in Kyrgios' case, he needed more support from the outside organisation rather than from the family who find it very difficult, as we all know, families always find it difficult to say no to someone.
That's right. Yes, that's the thing. He needs a sports psychologist on his team to help him mature.
I mean, look at Neville Rand's daughter.
Yes, Anna.
In her 30s.
Yeah, but that's
she's
not
in trouble.
Sport-related. So Nick Kyrgios is 21, but he, as soon as he was 17, he was out on the tour, so he was probably a bit immature. But he is very talented, and he will keep rising up the ranks. And look, he may win a Grand Slam one day, or more than one. And we hope he does well, but he needs to just get a hold of himself.
But interestingly enough, though, he is getting a lot of support now from players such as Andy Murray, even Djokovic, Federer. All of them are supportive of him in their statements. None of them condone his behaviour, but they're supportive in their understanding of where he is mentally.
Yes, that's right. Now, I'll briefly say that Anne Kyothathong, who was the number one British female player, said that Nick Kyrgios is 21 years old. I'm sure we can all admit to doing and saying stupid things at that age, and some of us continue to do so, she said. Now, in tennis results this week in the Shanghai Masters, Andy Murray beat Roberto Bautista Agut after Agut had upset Novak Djokovic in the semis. Caroline Wozniacki.
He threw his own tantrum.
Yes, Anna.
And his racket.
Yes.
Ripped his shirt off in a tanty as well.
He did. That's right. And
a little bit older than Nick Kyrgios, Malcolm.
Yes, Anna. Anna, moving on. We haven't got all day to talk about everything, so we have to be brief. In Hong Kong, Caroline Wozniacki continued her revival, winning a second tournament on the Asian swing, beating Kristina Mladenovic of France. Hello to Dougal Austin, if you're listening. One of your favourites was Kristina Mladenovic. And in Linz, Dominika Sibulkova beat Victoria Golubic of Switzerland to qualify for the year-end championships, which Serena Williams has withdrawn from, so that enabled Sibulkova to make the cut. And in Tianjin, Xuao Peng, she won her first ever tournament, coming back from injury at the age of 29 or something, as a wild card, beating the American Alison Risk in the final. In women's...
She won a wonderful three-hour semi-final against... name escapes me.
Svetlana Kuznetsova, Anna. I actually watched that on Sunday. I was watching that match. I watched that match, and yes, she won it, and she was probably a bit tired for the final. I then had to go out, so I couldn't watch the final, which they played straight after. Wonders of pay television.
Malcolm, I'm so impressed with your pronunciation efforts.
Of the names. Oh, I love my sport.
Now, he knows I'd slaughter him if he didn't.
Yeah. Now, in women's cricket, Anna, the Southern Stars have landed a $15 million sponsorship deal with the Commonwealth Bank.
Actually, it's a Cricket Australia partnership with the Commonwealth Bank over 3 years, aimed at women's cricket, Indigenous players, players with a disability, and local clubs.
Oh, thank you for expanding.
So while they're paying for women's cricket,
yes,
it's not all for women's cricket.
But so, it's for everyone who needs it, and it's not just men's cricket. So I think that's a great thing, because women's cricket is certainly on the rise with the Big Bash and things like that. Now,
and the difference between women's cricket and women's AFL is that women's cricketers can and do represent the country.
That's right. Now, moving on in cricket, Michael Clarke has defended the family of Philip Hughes over their questioning through their counsel at the inquest into Philip Hughes' death. Now, of course, that has now finished, and of course the coroner is reserving his finding, and we'll come back to it. But it was quite an emotional inquest with accusations flying left, right and centre. But to me, my view is it's a game of cricket, and I don't think anyone was out there to harm him, so to speak, and it was just a freak accident that hit him in the wrong spot. But that's my view. Now, if you've got any thoughts on the Philip Hughes inquest or any of the other stories we've been talking about, Nick Kyrgios or women's cricket, Anna Mears' retirement, or, of course, the Spring Carnival, you can email us to onair@joy.org.au, or you can text us to 0427 569 949, which is 0427 JOY 949, where it's just gone 14 minutes past 8. You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9 with your host Mel, and talking to Anna and Leonie. Leonie in the studio, Anna on the phone. And before I get to the next...
I have to say, Malcolm, yes. With Clark, I think the fact that Clark was on 60 Minutes last weekend and, remarkably coincidentally, has just released his autobiography.
Yes.
He suddenly decided to take a public stance on a number of things.
He has, including saying that
including
Shane Watson...
telling us all about how Shane Watson was part of a tumour on the team and Simon's poured a glass of drink over him in a change room. Now, these people who are behaving so badly towards Michael Clark in the change rooms, who are part of the team that Michael Clark is also part of, regardless of who Michael Clark is, if it's always Clark who's the victim, there's got to be something to be thought about there, in my personal opinion.
I don't know the full thing about the drink pouring over, but usually when you win a match, everyone just sprays champagne on each other and they pour it on each other. That's normal masculine, sporty behaviour, which I don't approve of, but I think it happens all the time.
It does, but I don't think it's usually champagne in the cricket change rooms.
What, beer.
Beer, Gatorade, something like
no,
that.
No, it'd be beer.
Beer.
It'd be beer. That's
beer.
Right. Now, in shocking news, the 15-year-old daughter, Trinity Gay, daughter of Tyson Gay Olympic medalist, was shot dead in gunfire in the state of Kentucky at the university campus in Lexington during the weekend.
Well, she was actually in a restaurant car park at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, Anna, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, what's a 15-year-old doing out at 4 a.m. in the morning? But I didn't want to lead the story into that.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm going to say that.
Oh, okay.
She's the 15-year-old daughter of a 34-year-old man who therefore was a teenager when he fathered her.
Yes.
And who didn't live with her father, but was a very promising high school athlete because, hello, genes are very useful.
Yep.
But yes, 4 a.m. on a Sunday morning in a restaurant car park with people older than herself. Mm. What was she doing there in the first place? She was, we believe, an innocent bystander caught in crossfire.
Yeah. But she shouldn't have been there in the first place.
She shouldn't have been there in the first place. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
And I know that sounds harsh.
No, Anna, but I'm with you.
Mm.
Anyway. But look, it's sad for Tyson Gay to lose his daughter. Now, very briefly, we'll wrap up news of the week.
More running news, Malcolm, the Melbourne Marathon.
Yeah. Actually, yes, I skipped a story. Sorry. The Melbourne Marathon, Prue from Albury, if you're listening, ran the half marathon in Melbourne and I was her support crew. And also the winner, the women's winner, Virginia Maloney, Gin to me, is a member of the Collingwood Harriers Club, which I'm part of, and she won it in 2:34.28, her best time ever, and she would have been in the Olympics with a time like that. Amazing run by her.
Speaking of the Olympics, Olympic gold medalist Cathy Freeman ran the 10K race.
Oh, did she, Anna? And then in the men's race, Thomas DeCanto, in his very first marathon, won...
his first Melbourne Marathon.
Oh, first Melbourne Marathon. Oh, they said first marathon. Anyway, he won in 2 hours 20. So it was an amazing experience, and I wish I could have been able to run it. But as you'll all know, of course, I've still got knee injuries, and I'm still in rehab. Hello to Rowan and Brian, my trainer at Body Matrix Gym, South Melbourne, getting me back into knee shape. Quickly, because we've only got half an hour. Coming up
next year, I promise, Mal, I'll be part of your support crew at the Melbourne Marathon if you're back on the run.
Oh, thanks, Anna. And at 8:30, coming up, Chicks Talking Footy with Fiona Dene and I think Rachel tonight. Briefly, Matthew Mitchum has spoken candidly about his sexuality and comings out in an interview with another magazine, and he realised he was gay when he was about 8 or 9. He knew he liked boys then, but he soon came to an understanding that gay was not as good as straight, and so he kind of kept it to himself.
Well, that was the understanding given by people in the environment in which he was.
That's right.
Necessarily the true statement, Malcolm, when we are on Joy FM.
Yeah, that's right. And he said he hopes that marriage equality passes in Australia soon and believes legalising it will encourage other athletes to come out. So, look, hopefully our government does something about it. But I don't think it's going to happen now until after the next election, Leonie, when maybe Labor wins the election and they just pass it straight away. What do you think?
I think that's probably right. I'm not going to hold my breath for it just at the moment.
No, me either. Mm-hmm. Now,
I'm with David Pocock, Malcolm.
Yes. Well, Hannah, you have to... You have to have someone to marry if you're going to get married.
As I say, I'm with David Pocock. He and his fiancée have decided not to get married until their gay friends can get married in Australia as well.
That's
and
right.
And I'm standing with him.
Yes.
And that's regardless of whether I'm in a position to undertake it or not.
Any straight men out there listening, Anna is free and available.
And reasonably intelligent.
Yes. Okay. Now, after these community service announcements, we'll be talking to Leonie about the Glamour Head Charts and their big event. So, Anna, thanks for joining us this week.
My pleasure.
Chat to you.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, I'll talk to you later about other matters. You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9, where it's now 20 minutes past 8.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Yes, Malcolm, your host tonight for That Sports Show. Stuart's in Brazil. Thank you, Anna, for News of the Week. And Leonie in the studio still with us to talk everything swimming about the Glamour Head Sharks. Now, briefly, Leonie, tell me how people can get in touch with the Glamour Head Sharks to maybe swim with them. So how can we find them?
All right, let's talk some swimming because running, I don't run unless there's a truck bearing down on me or something like that. So the Glamour Head Sharks are Melbourne Masters swimming team. You can Google them. They come up pretty quickly. There's no other Glamour Head Sharks around. So it'll lead you straight to the website, which is glamourheads.org.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when do they train?
Okay, so the squad trains on a Tuesday night and also a Thursday night from 6:30 till 8 p.m. at Wesley School in Paran, which is on St Kilda Road.
Punt Road. Enter from Punt Road.
The other side. Yeah,
Punt Road. Enter from Punt Road.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm wearing my Glamour Heads hoodie tonight.
See.
Yes.
Yes. Dazzling me with it.
Yes. Mm. And then one other night?
And on a Sunday down at MSAC down at Albert Park, and that is now from 5:30 till 6:30, I believe. And all that is on the website as well, so it's very easy.
And how good or bad at swimming do you have to be part of the Glamour Heads?
Oh. Oh.
Got to turn the phone on fire silent. Whoops.
You don't need to be a tremendous swimmer. You need to be able to swim, you know, a few laps, maybe 300 metres without expiring. That's about all we ask. It's not a learn-to-swim group. It is a swim training squad.
So. But having said that, it's from all levels, from someone that can swim 300 metres and from that level up to competitive level.
Yeah, we have all ranges of swimmers there, all ages and ranges. So if you're in lane one, you can swim quite slowly with the other lane oneers like myself.
And me.
And
when I come back.
You'll never be in lane one, Malcolm.
I like swimming in lane one because there's less people in it.
And you look faster.
No, not that. You get more room. That's what I like about it.
Okay.
Okay.
And we've got ages from people in their 20s right up to their 70s.
Yes.
So there's a wide range of men and women as well.
Yes.
So it's some swimmers like the competitive side and others are just there for fitness and fun.
Yeah, so, fantastic. Yeah. Now, the Glamour Heads, as part of Aussie Masters, which they are, they compete with other Aussie Masters clubs, and every second year they're compulsorily required to put on a swim meet. And that swim meet is this weekend.
It is indeed. This is the Glamour Heads' sixth
Is it the sixth
club.
One?
It is. Indeed.
12 years.
Mm.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
And I've been swimming in all of them.
Oh, how old does that make you, Malcolm?
45. Oh, I'm not ashamed to say I'm 45. That's right.
You're younger than me. God.
You look younger than me, darling.
Thanks.
That's all right. So it's the sixth biennial. That's what probably it is. Biennial swim meet. And it's at Richmond Pool?
It's at Richmond Pool this coming Saturday, the 22nd.
Yep.
At the Aquatic Centre there, and it's open to all Masters swimmers. Unfortunately, the sign-ups have now closed.
Yes.
But spectators are certainly welcome to come along.
That's right. And how many clubs are represented from around Victoria?
Okay, so we've got 127 swimmers registered to compete, which is the most ever.
That is a big swim meet.
We're going to be very, very busy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's about 21 clubs represented.
Yes.
And we've got swimmers from the GLBTI clubs in Sydney, the wet ones, and also some from Aqualicious in Brisbane as well.
Oh, right. I used to call them the Wetones, like the Deltones when I first heard their name, you know. I didn't get it. That was wet ones, tissues.
You were reading it very phonetically.
I was, the Wetones. So that's fantastic. And what else is in store?
Okay, so I must mention there's going to be a spectacular opening number.
I think I've seen previews of that online.
And it's being organised by 50 students or run by 50 students from the Patrick Studios Australia.
Yes.
Todd and Simon are putting it together.
Oh, Simon is helping.
I believe so.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Glamorous.
Glamorous indeed.
Yes.
And the swimmers that are swimming, better not be surprised if they're being marshalled by a couple of bossy drag queens.
Oh, really?
I think so. So I think it sounds like it's going to be fun.
Is that Merle and Pearl?
No, they're dead.
Oh, are they dead?
They're literally dead.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We buried them in their white bowling whites.
Oh, okay. Yes. And so the drag queens are?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know?
I don't know, but I'm betting they're bossy and very tall.
Oh, so and they'll be in high heels.
Mm.
And yours truly is actually the announcer for the swim meet. So I've got to keep those drag queens in check, don't I? I've got to say, Marshall for the next race.
I think you better put on a harsh, deep voice, Malcolm.
I think I need to put a power outfit on.
Some shoulder pads, maybe.
Yes, yes.
Now, I've also got to say that our trifle competition is part of the deal as well.
Oh, yes. And from the other Aussie Masters clubs, that's the best part of the whole swim meet, trifle competition.
Some people are utterly obsessed with it. Totally obsessed.
Todd Patrick, not mentioning any names?
Oh, well, I think the man sitting opposite me right now won it under some cloud of scrutiny last time.
I didn't enter and I didn't win it, but my lovely partner, David, if you're listening, won it.
Right.
And
remember
in the lead up, Todd was pretending that he was doing it, but he didn't really. And I never said I took credit for it, but David made it, my partner David. And
you see, this is what happens with the trifle competition.
I know, it was so competitive.
Very hotly fought.
And from everybody.
Yep.
Anyway, Leonie, have you got some last final words before we wrap up the show? Because it's Chicks Talking Footy coming up.
All right. Well, just come along. Have a swim with us.
Yes.
Enjoy yourselves. Mm-hmm. We're a lovely group. We love each other to death.
Yes.
And that's about it.
All right. I'll see you Saturday, love.
I know the girls talking footy are on, and I just need to say I'm a happy little demon.
Yes, she is. Well done. Thank you, Leonie, for joining us. That's
pleasure.
Been That Sports Show this Wednesday, the 19th of October. I'll be with you next week. Coming up after these announcements, Chicks Talking Footy.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.